It's Monday, April 27th, 2020. I'm Stephen Fee, and this is The Pen Pod, a limited-run podcast from Pen America. On today's edition, debut author Ramiza Koya on her novel, The Royal Abduls, a story of secularism, Islam, and post-9/11 culture. Plus, she talks about her own struggle with a grim prognosis and how her Portland community has come together to support her. And then, how publishers are rolling with a difficult time. I'm Stephen Fee, all that coming up on The Pen Pod. The upcoming novel, The Royal Abduls, tells the story of an evolutionary biologist, her nephew, and the struggles of Muslim Americans in the post-9/11 era. In her debut novel, writer Ramiza Koya explores the lives of secular Muslims in 21st century America, especially as the country becomes increasingly polarized. And Ramiza joins me now. Hi there.
Hello.
So first of all, during this moment of social distancing, where am I catching you right now?
Right now, you're catching me straight live from Portland, Oregon.
Got it. Got it. Well, you know, you, I know, have been active in the literary community and literacy community in Portland for many years. I'm wondering what motivated you to move into novel writing.
Well, I actually have been a writer for, I got an MFA in 2001, and I've taken some breaks, but I've been writing and publishing all this time, essays and short stories. I wrote a novel for my MFA thesis. I wouldn't necessarily like that to come to light now, but about 12 years ago, I wrote a short story called The Hybrid Zone, and that eventually turned into The Royal Abduls. I wasn't planning to write a novel at that time. I think, you know, vaguely on the horizon was the thought that I would write another novel, but I was working and doing other things. I was teaching. And then I became pretty involved in the literary community here, and that helped kind of push me forward towards publication because, I became more connected to what was going on in Portland, which is a huge book community, really wonderful literary community. And that gave me some motivation to kind of recommit myself to finishing and publishing this book.
Very cool. Well, you know, the Royal Abduls, it tells the story of an Indian American Muslim family coping with a divisive culture.
Yes.
How do you think readers might interpret or understand this story, especially right now when we have all of these divides, all of these divisions, these you know, borders are closed, people are kind of shutting down. How do you think this book might be read in our current moment?
Yeah, I think what has pleasantly surprised me, I guess, and none of that is pleasant, but the relevance of the book has felt like it's just increased over time. So I did start it a long time ago. There wasn't a lot of post-9/11 literature by anything other than sort of white New York writers when I started this. And so having that kind of emerge as a theme and then have that in the Trump era become increasingly relevant. And then now with coronavirus and this idea of the borders and increasing racism against Asian Americans, it just feels like these stories really still need to be told. People need to start to understand that there are other perspectives on these experiences. Thinking about how coronavirus affects all different types of people, I think, is really crucial to managing the situation well. And then for me, just, a personal note that I started to feel more and more strongly as I worked on the book. I think of it as I worked on it in two halves because I took a break in the middle to have a kid and be a little bit brain dead for a few years and then came back to it and restructured it and started to really think about it as a kind of secular Muslim story and feeling like that story isn't being told. And, you know, for somebody who is told, you know, go back to where you came from, but they were born here, or, you know, somebody who is challenged on whether or not they're a threat to, you know, the country they live in. I think it's really important to start telling these stories and have people build up some kind of empathy so that, you know, we can all work together on something. You know, we have a global pandemic right now. It's not just one place or one culture or one color. So helping to do that, I think, is something that's been gratifying to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, especially with so many, you know, as we talk about intersectionality and sort of the layering of cultures that people inhabit right now. I mean, and even in this global moment when, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of our listeners know this too, but that Muslims in India in particular have come under threat. You know, there is this sort of creeping nationalism that's kind of dissecting us. And you use that word empathy, which I think is like the key one that right now is probably the key trait that we all need to be embodying.
Yeah, I feel there are a lot of threats. There's anti-Muslim sentiment around the world. And, you know, I'm not sure why that's all coalescing right now. I'm sure there are many reasons, you know, and I don't think it necessarily, I think we're seeing it even in the U.S. More strongly with Trump than, you know, we did post 9/11 in some ways, where there were defenders, you know, even Bush would say, you know, these people are my friends, they're our allies. And we don't have that anymore. So, you know, trying to find that empathy, trying to connect with each other a little bit more. I think we're all behoven to do it because it's a very dangerous world right now.
Absolutely. So I want to just ask, I mean, you, I know, are facing some of your own health challenges right now. And you mentioned a little bit about the literary community in Portland, and I wonder how they've been able to support you both during what you're confronting on your own right now, but also with a new book coming out at a moment when, you know, book talks aren't happening and book tours are getting canceled. How are they keeping you lifted up?
They're very much keeping me lifted up. And that's been a little bit of a revelation to me. I'm like any writer, a little bit. I don't keep to myself. I'm an introvert. And, you know, I like to just do my thing. But I needed help. I'm battling cancer. And I got a prognosis that maybe would have 6 months to live in late December. And so I thought, well, shoot, you know, like, how am I going to see this book out? But people really stepped forward. My publisher stepped forward. She got an early release on some books so that books could be sold here in Portland early. I still have my regular release date of May 12th. But I was able to experience some of that. People reached out to me, did interviews with me. You know, I was on the local radio. I was in the Oregonian. And then people from the publishing community really came together and said, hey, you know, we're gonna help you have this experience of publishing your book, even though it's in a kind of fumbled timeline and it's not exactly how it would have been. And so that's just been so incredible and heartwarming. And so many people have reached out with little reviews or just, you know, passing on love or, you know, sharing the book with people. I've got a lot of book clubs reading it. So it felt like I had a lot of the experience that I would have had. And that's been pretty amazing. And just that straight up, even before the kind of quarantining, you know, just this sort of straight up, like, we want to show you our love. And we want, you know, you're a part of this community and we're going to do everything we can to uplift this book. And that's been an amazing experience.
That's really powerful. Well, let me just ask finally, are anything in particular that you're reading right now that's bringing you hope or solace or just entertainment?
Well, I actually kind of impressed myself because I was a little stuck at first, like a lot of people, I think, you know, overwhelmed. And then the new Hillary Mantel came out, The Mirror and the Light, and I bought it. I went out and bought it in a hardcover, which is not like me. But I was like, I'm going to read this. And then I thought, oh my God, it's 750 pages and I'm never going to finish it. And I kind of like abandoned hope for a little while. And then I don't know, I had this resurgence a couple of weeks ago and I just dug into it and I loved it. And I had that experience that you want to have as a reader where you just sink into a book that you love and that is amazing. It was an incredible experience and I'm like so proud of myself that I read the whole damn thing.
Likewise. Well, thank you so much. Rumeeza Khoya is author of The Royal Abduls, her debut novel. It publishes May 12th. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, all authors like Ramiz Akoya are working to get their books out there, publishing houses, too, are grappling with how best to keep their businesses running. Over at Penn.org, our LA executive director, Michelle Franke, talked to Dan Smetanka, vice president and editor-in-chief of Counterpoint Press, one of the country's largest independent publishers. He says the publishing industry was ready for a slump this fall with the election, but he's optimistic the publishing will pick up, especially into the first quarter of 2021. His guidance to readers out there, let's all agree now that we're only giving books as gifts this holiday season. Check out that and more on our website, Penn.org. And that's our episode for Monday, April 27th, 2020. Join us tomorrow for the Penn Pod. We'll have an interview with writer Brandon Shimoda. You can listen to all our episodes at Penn.org. Follow us at Penn America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Sign up on our website for our daily Dare newsletter, where we track major stories about literature, free expression, and the news of the world. I'm Stephen Fee for Penn America. This is the Penn Pod. See you tomorrow.